So were you both born in Oklahoma?
I was. He wasn't.
Where were you born?
9 miles north of town.
So, all right. And
I was born in LaPont, Missouri.
And we've got a lot of Missourians here.
Sedalia, just a few miles from Sedalia. Small town.
I'm from Missouri. So
oh, yeah. What part of Missouri are you
from? I was born at Fort Leonard Wood. Oh. I grew up on a farm in Fairgrove, just north of Springfield.
Our son took training at Fort Leonard Wood, about smothered to death in the summer.
It's humid and hot.
Yes, you found that out.
What year were you born?
1917, November the 1st.
It's the third 1917 person we've had today.
Oh.
It's a popular year, I guess. But what about you? I know this is supposed to be more about her, but since you're here, I want to get your stuff, too.
I was born in Beaumont, Missouri, May the 6th, 1914.
And what brought you to Oklahoma?
My dad, my mother got to where she had asthma real bad. And they recommended that they come where it was hotter than where it was.
Dryer,
and so on. So we moved here.
His dad was a mail carrier. So he traded routes.
Easy enough. Uh-huh. And then you moved right here? And then you've been here ever since.
We've traveled around quite a little in our life.
Yeah.
Oh, we were.
We left here in 1935 and moved to Miles City, Montana. We lived there 7 years, and then we moved to San Diego, California. I lived there 4 years. He was two years in the service when we lived in California.
You left in 1935. Was that because of the weather?
No, we had gotten married, and we got offered a job. His brother-in-law had a big service station up there. It was a 24-hour deal, you know, and he offered him a job, so we moved up there.
You got married in 1935?
Four.
1934.
You were pretty young at that time, 18?
17.
17.
And I was 20.
I said I'd kill a kid of mine to do that.
That's what I was getting ready to ask you how you'd feel. But look how it's paid off.
We're almost married 67 years now. We'll be this year. November the 1st of this year.
Yeah, it's weird how it seems all right for you to have done that, but you wouldn't want anybody.
Oh, no.
So when did you all start, when did you start dating, or when did you know you were going to be together?
Well, I was raised on this farm out north of town. He lived out east of town here, and a cousin and I were listing an 80 acres of land for another cousin of mine. And they were having an MYF church party down here. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go. So this cousin that we were working for, he said that was all right. So my mother brought me down here to this party. And Buck asked her if he could take me home. And so she consented to let him. And we just started going together. And went together for a little over a year.
You were doing the listing?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do a lot of the farm work?
Oh, yeah. I worked out in the field all the time. I had 4 head of horses on the lister.
What? 4 head? Now, so it means there's 2 and 2, or you had 4 going like that?
No, 2 and 2 like that.
Yeah.
And then my cousin that was working with me, he was using 4 span of mules on his lister.
Were they double listers or single?
Doubles.
Huh. It's odd, or maybe it's odd, I don't know, to see women doing that kind of heavy farm work.
Back in those days, they
worked as hard as men. I've drawn every piece of machinery he had but the self-propelled combine.
Yeah.
And that scared me. I run the old type that you had to run with a wheel, you know.
Yeah.
But when it come to self-propel, I backed off of that.
Was farm work a part of your daily
routine? Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. Milking cows.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
Well, I was raised up in a split family, I guess you'd say. My dad had been married and had 3 children, and his wife died. My mother had been married, and she had 2 children, and her husband died. Well, his first wife and my mother were sisters.
Okay.
My dad married sisters.
All right. Okay. That makes it more easy.
And then after they married, they had my sister and I. Mm-hmm. So I had 5 half-brothers and sisters and 1 whole.
So 7 altogether.
And then my dad had his oldest son's wife died when his second child was born. They lived in New Mexico. And she was 3 weeks old. And my dad went and got the 2 girls and brought them back to Oklahoma. And my folks raised the one that was 3 weeks old. So she was like a sister, you know. Yeah. I was actually her aunt, but...
So you were one of the younger kids.
I was the last one.
But what age did you get out in the field and start working with the farm machinery?
Oh, I can't remember, probably. I can't remember when I didn't know how to milk a cow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we just worked out in the field when we kept 10 or 11 years old.
So you attended school, and then you were expected to help out in the doing the farm chores and things. Did the harvest or the planting or different times interfere with your schooling?
Uh-uh. My mother saw we were in school. She was great for education. And she always saw that we was in school when we were supposed to be.
So you would have been 18, right around the, well, between 15 and 18, right around the time when it started getting really, really dirty.
I was 16 when I graduated from high school. And the Depression was long in that time. We just didn't have many clothes or anything. We always had enough to eat because my mother raised chickens. We always had cows and we always had milk, you know.
Yeah.
And my mother was a big gardener, and we always canned lots of fruit. When I was growing up, we had a big orchard, and we had all kind of fruit. She canned 500 to 600 quarts every summer.
Wow. That would fill up the cellar, wouldn't it?
If we were to have company, we just ran down the cellar and grab jars of stuff. You know, she'd have a meal in probably 45 minutes.
What would a typical meal be like for you guys? Not a company meal, but a typical meal.
Our breakfasts were either cornbread or hot biscuits and gravy and meat and eggs and usually potatoes.
Mm-hmm. That's
that was a typical breakfast. Because my dad got up at 4:30 every morning and went out and took care of his horses. And my mother got up and she would have breakfast ready when he got back in about 6 o'clock, you know.
Hmm.
And then our dinners, we always had meat 3 times a day. My dad killed bees and he raised his own hogs and butchered his own hogs, and he had a smokehouse, and he smoked his own meat, cured his own meat. And Mom always raised 200 or 300 chickens.
Wow. You had a big operation going. So you always had chicken and eggs and meat and everything. Do you remember like a fancy dinner? What you would have if the company was coming or the preacher was coming over?
Well, every Saturday, we made a cake or two, and she was a big pie maker, and she made three or four pies, you know. We were related to practically everybody in that neighborhood. And we had a little country Sunday school a quarter of a mile from where we lived. And we went every Sunday. We didn't ask if we were going. We knew we were going.
Yeah.
And he'd invite maybe 25 or 30 home, you know. Well, I've seen my mother get up and kill four or five chickens before we go to Sunday school because we didn't have refrigeration, you know.
Yeah.
And then it would be fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy and vegetables and the pies and the cakes.
Okay, I just ate, but you're making me hungry.
What was your favorite thing?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
Just food.
We liked fried chicken real good.
Oh, yeah.
But I basically cook that way now. Yeah. I'd hardly use any box stuff.
Where do you live? What's your
name? Right down the street.
Yeah, we're going to come by about 6 o'clock.
Okay.
How old were you when you moved to Gage?
I think I was in about the 4th grade.
So 8, 9, something around in there.
You came here in 26, didn't you?
Yeah.
Figure that up, whatever that is.
I was married in 14. I was born in 14.
Yeah, you've been 12.
I've been 12, yeah.
Would you consider yourself, it sounds like you had a pretty prosperous farm. I mean, it sounds like it was a big, do you think you were in the upper levels of kind of the community of farmers around here as far as?
My dad, when he came here from Kansas because his first wife had asthma and they had recommended that he come to Western Oklahoma thinking the climate might help, you know.
Gage must be the asthma capital of the world.
And it helped for a year or so. But then she got to having it again. But what I started to say is he bought this one farm that we have out here. I inherited that when he died. But he accumulated enough that he had a quarter of land for each one of his kids when he died. Now, that wasn't counting my mother's children. It was his and theirs. It would be five quarters.
Wow, not bad. How about you and when you were living, when your dad was a postman, is that what you said?
Mail carrier.
How were you, so you lived in town, is that, or did you?
No, we lived on a farm too.
So he farmed and carried mail?
Yeah.
What was your typical day like? The farm chores or?
Yeah. I did just about anything there. We farmed. We had maize. We never planted wheat or anything. We had maize and stuff like that. Well, we did, for our money crop, we were broom corn.
Yeah.
Don't ever get into that. We raised it 1 year, he and I did. I couldn't pull broom corn and scratch fast enough. Well, that's it, too fast.
Yeah, it's something. We just tried that 1 year after we married. When we raised broom corn, you could sell that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot easier than that. And we raised maize and stuff like that, feed cows and horses. We didn't have tractors or anything.
Always working with horses? Mm-hmm. And you worked with horses from until when?
Well, let's see. I don't know how old I was when my dad... I guess we worked with horses till I was married. And then when we moved back here, we worked with tractors, he and I.
Yeah. It seems like my mom can remember the names of all her horses she worked with. Do you remember your names? Oh, come on. You're the first person I ran into that's worked with horses. They don't remember their names.
I don't remember.
I can't remember.
I probably gave them some names I didn't have sometimes.
Well, do you remember when, do you remember a distinct time when you kind of recall looking around and thinking things weren't as good as they used to be, or when money got a little tight? I mean, do you remember something in your mind that one day you thought, hey, this, I'm wearing the same old dress?
Or, see, when I went to high school, there was two girls that lived. One girl lived 6 miles north of where I lived. And I walked a quarter of a mile and met her at the corner. And she picked me up. And then we went another mile and we picked another girl up. And then we rode into town. And I paid her $5 a month to ride with her. And then those two girls graduated. So that there weren't school buses at that time. So you had to do your own transportation. So I roomed and board with an older lady in a house right across the street from the Quick Stop up here. And my mother would bring me in on Sunday night and come get me Friday evenings. And she paid that lady $5.25 a month for room and board. That's how cheap things were at that time.
Yeah.
And I had a north room, no heat in it, whatever. And so I had to do everything out where the other family was. They just heated about one room.
Yeah.
And then when I got ready for bed, I go jump in that bed, and the way I lived, that's where I stayed. Because it was so cold.
Yeah.
But I had two or three, four dresses maybe, and I'd go home and I'd wash on the board my clothes, my underclothes and everything, and iron them so I could come back on Sunday night, you know. But I didn't have very many clothes.
Yeah. Do you remember when you first remember recalling there being a depression or kind of hard times? Like what brought that to your mind?
Oh, I don't.
I tell you, everybody was in the same boat. You didn't know you was hard about it.
Well,
you know,
when we were married, actually, we didn't have nothing.
Yeah.
We did have a place to live.
Where did you live when you first were married?
2.5 miles east of town here and a quarter south.
Did you lease some land or lease some farm?
We just leased
it. Yeah, his dad had it.
Dad had it, and then he moved to town. My mother passed away, and he got married again. And they moved to town and left us kids out there.
When you were living out there and didn't have any money and farming that land, what would you all do for entertainment?
Well, we didn't even have a car. If somebody didn't come and get us, we walked. And we would have parties, like two or three couples would get together and play cards or some kind of games.
What kind of games? Yeah, what kind of card games?
Oh, Rook or Pitch or and dominoes, those kind of games. And we made our own entertainment.
And then the church, our church is here, we're Methodist, and they were pretty, we had some ladies that always doing things for kids. They were all fairly old and all. They were sure wonderful, and they would see that we had parties, and we just had a big time just from church. Sometimes all the churches, they'd have other churches come, and we'd have a big old party down there, and that's where I met her.
Oh, that's right. You brought down to a
MYF party. That's a youth group.
Youth fellowship or something, I think is what that's right. Yeah. Methodist Youth Fellowship.
These ladies there were Dickens, Mildred
Dickens. Mildred Dickens.
Anyway, they saw that these kids They just loved us.
So you'd play, just you'd get together and play games and.
Yeah, play board games and have always got something to eat, you know.
We went to what we called party games, and that is similar to square dancing. And you'd come to town on Saturday afternoon, and this was a big Saturday afternoon town. And somebody'd say, "We're having a party at our place," and I'd come. And that's the way the word got around. And you'd, gosh, there'd be 35, 40, maybe 50 kids there, you know. And we'd play this, these game, these party games, we call them. They sang songs kind of like square dancing.
And you would square dance, or?
Well, not really square dance, but we did similar things going around. It was a big ring that we made. And
oh, yeah.
And
somebody was doing the calling, and you'd.
And you do, know, what they tell you to do, you know. Now, my mother wouldn't let me dance. I would have loved to have danced, but she was pretty straight-laced, and she didn't believe in that. But she'd take me to every party game.
So she wouldn't let you dance, but she let you go around in a circle and hold hands and go in and out. And
now, you can't. Another thing, she wouldn't let us play pitch with pitch cards. We could play rook. We couldn't play pitch. But she and my dad and my aunt and uncle could play 42 with dominoes. It's the very same game pitch is, except it's played with dominoes.
I can't explain that one.
I never could either.
Do you remember as a child what you'd do for entertainment before you were too old to not dance?
Oh, I had a, there was a girl that lived about a half a mile from me, and she'd come over. My mother raised these chickens, a bunch of chickens, you know, and we had a brooder house that she started them out in. Well, when they got too big for the brooder, she'd put them to another chicken house, you know, for them to grow. So I could have the brooder as my playhouse. Well, this girl and I, we would make that into a little house for us. We'd make, rope off different areas of it for different rooms, you know.
Yeah.
And we played house a lot. I played dolls. And like I say, we had a big orchard, and there wasn't any tree I couldn't get to the top of if I wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we'd stake out a house underneath these trees. We'd take long nails and binder twine and make our rooms, you know, and then you could step on. Just imagination.
Yeah. What about you? And your, as a child, what would you do for entertainment or fun or, you know, free time?
I don't know. I was pretty busy doing something.
Always staying out of trouble?
Well, not hardly. Most of the time, I had three older sisters. You know, they kind of looked after me.
And, in other words, he's spoiled.
And I got to do about anything I wanted to do.
I thought he was going to say they dressed him up.
Well,
I wasn't around him, so no, I don't know what he did.
I don't remember.
You didn't really meet until you were little, I mean, just like 16, 17 or something like
that. Well, see, we had gone to high school together. He graduated 2 years before I did, but he didn't pay any attention to an undergraduate.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. What would you be, eighth, ninth grade?
Well, when he was a senior, I was a sophomore, see.
Right. So, yeah, but after you graduated, you looked a little better, didn't you?
I guess. The funny thing of it was, I don't know, I was kind of like Rudolph the Little Nose Reindeer. I had worn goggles out there in the field, you know, like this, to keep the dirt out of my eyes. Well, my nose was sunburned a bright red when I took those goggles off. And that's the way I went to that party.
Oh.
So were you attracted to her
bright shiny nose? Shiny nose like that.
Let's write that down for future use. Well, do you remember when the first dust storm you saw?
No, we weren't in the dust storm. We had moved from here at that time.
You moved in 35, is that right? And so you don't
recall... March of 35.
You don't recall...
Well,
I remember many...
Well, not the big dust storms.
No, not the big ones. We had a few dry seasons, you know, and had it really blowing pretty good, but it got the drift like they had when they're really bad.
Right, you missed out on the big one by a month or so.
Yeah,
we just seen. What did they call
it? We come back and boy,
I've heard my folks tell about it.
Why is this popped up, you know?
Yeah.
The whole ground had just blubbered away. So,
but we just didn't have any money hardly. I worked for a lady in a harvest crew one summer, and a harvest crew is 13 men, and these people had 6 in their family. And I helped this lady cook one summer, and I got 50 cents a day in my boarding room. We got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and started our breakfast, you know. Then we'd have dinner and supper to cook for that whole bunch. Plus, you always took them something out to the field mid-morning and mid-afternoon, you know.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like hard work.
Was hard work, but I earned enough that summer to buy enough material to make my school clothes for the next term.
Do you remember as let's say the Wall Street crash was in 1929, depression kind of, although people here were not doing so good even before then, but do you remember any incidents of vagrants or tramps coming through town or coming to your farm or looking for handouts or work?
Well, we didn't have any out in there. They may have had here, but we didn't get to town very much. Just maybe once a week.
Yeah. What about your family? Any hobo visitors?
Yeah. We lived just down the way here. And, you'd see them all over everywhere. I mean, there was at least, and it seemed to come in bunches. I don't know why, but it did. And they would, but everybody, they fed them.
Yeah.
They fed them. And what they could, you know, I mean, there wasn't everybody has an awful lot of money or anything. We just here. Even my dad, carrying the mail and all, he had to take quite a time. Of course, he had quite a few.
He had 7 kids.
7 kids, too. You know. Wow. 7 of us. And
so you remember a lot of hobos, and you don't recall any coming by. I wonder if your parents were a little more... They're less forgiving.
Well, see, we lived 9 miles
out in the country.
Oh.
We lived
There would be some.
Some would come
some
by,
some would
but
come
not.
By. More than other things is try to, they'd usually ask if there's anything they could do for
them. Yeah.
You know, they would like to work for a handout.
Do you recall them ever working around the house, or were they just... fed and...
I can remember that Mom used to have moisture windows or something like that, you know, and then paint them
up. Yeah.
If they needed it or not, why, if she had any money, it wasn't an awful lot anywhere. But she would see that they fed. They were fed. She fed them.
What about gypsies?
Oh, yeah, I remember gypsies.
And tell us about
it. You used to scare you to death.
Oh, I was scared to death of them. Well, my folks had gone someplace that day, probably to town to get supplies. And I had gone home, and they weren't home. And I looked out the window, and there was a bunch of gypsies in a covered wagon coming down the road. I tell you, I was absolutely scared spitless, because I had heard a lot of things about gypsies, you know.
Like what kind of things?
Oh, that they stole kids, and yeah. Oh, and they would take everything you had in your house if they had a chance. And so I called the neighbor lady. They lived a quarter of a mile south of the Miller School house, and I told her that I was home alone, and the folks were gone, and there was a wagon load of gypsies, covered wagon load of gypsies coming down the road. She said, "Well, you watch them, and if they start to turn in, you call us, and we'll come over." Well, in the meantime, I got under the bed and hid, and then I thought, well, they've got dogs, they can spay you, you know. And I hid here, and I hid there, and oh, I was just fit to be tied. But I kind of, every once in a while, I go peek out the window, you know. Well, luckily, they went by, they didn't stop, but oh, I was absolutely scared to death.
What do they look like?
They're, what nationality would I say? They're swarthy mm-hmm. people, swarthy-skinned people, and real dark hair usually. We had a bunch here in town. We used to run a drugstore over across the street here where this pet shop is, and there was a bunch of them hit town here one time, and boy, they were going in the stores, and they went in the grocery store over there, and they couldn't watch them fast enough. They was grabbing stuff off of the shelves, and they wear real big gowns and stuff with a lot of pockets, you know, and they can stash that stuff away. Well, a storekeeper ran to the phone, and she called me, and she said, "You lock your doors, because they're going into places, and you can't watch them." We had a real nice drugstore over there. So I locked it, and they didn't get into our place, but They're real bad to see you blind.
You remember gypsy stories as a child? I mean, what, they were coming by in the 30s, is that right? Or mm-hmm. 20s? Or
30s. Let's see, I
remember.
I don't know, probably about 1930, I'd say.
And at that time you were running you had a drugstore?
No, he and I had a drugstore. Over here on the corner after we came back to Oklahoma after we lived in California.
You moved to Montana,
then to
California, and then
back here.
Why'd you move back here?
Because after he got out of the service, he couldn't find a job. There was thousands.
Everybody was walking right, the yeah. street.
Navy and Marines.
And you had your quarter section right back
yeah.
here.
Yeah, we had owned it.
We had it, so we decided to come back here. We had one boy. He was about 5 or 6 years old then, and getting ready to start to school. So we come back here and bought some cows and some machinery and started farming and milking cows. I raised chickens, and we raised pigs.
Then you had the drugstore operation, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, drugstore. We were on a cafe.
Yeah, wow. Where this breezeway over here is, we had a little cafe in there first for 3.5 years. And I was working 16 hours a day, and I finally got so I couldn't do it. So then the drugstore was for sale, so we bought that out. And we were in there 15 years.
What year did you come back to Oklahoma?
46.
So you kind of farmed, had businesses in town.
And he drove the school bus.
I drove school bus for a number of years, and then I was janitor for a number of years.
And he's got a sign shop across the street over here that he ran for 30 years. And I had a draper shop in there.
You guys are busy.
Sign shop, draper shop, drugstore, cafe, janitor, school bus driver, farmer, gas station operator.
Anything to make a living, honest living.
Yeah.
And we was bound, our son was going to go to college. You know what college costs.
Yeah.
We got him through.
We got him through college. I still sew for people, do alterations, make quilts, and sell them to people.
Do you remember any friends or relatives that moved out because of the Depression or that lost their farms? Or?
Oh, my sister and her husband moved to California when the Dust Bowl days came.
Yeah.
And then my other sister and her husband moved to Wyoming, and they were up there for a number of years. But, you see, they came back here in about 41, I think it was. About the first part of World War II. And, I don't know.
Any friends, or you remember losing, when you were younger, losing friends to, you know, they would move away? But you can also answer if you recall having anything like that.
Of course, we left here in 35, so there could have been a lot in that period, you know.
Did you always have electricity at your house?
We got electricity in 44 or 45, I think. We didn't live here. I lived in California. My sister lived on this place out here where we've got. And the line was going by our place, and they were fixing there's a thing out north of Shattuck that is something, has something to do with this airport out here. And they were running a line to that. Well, if they passed your place, they would hook you on. So we were one of the first that got hooked on.
Wow.
And that, I think that was about 44 or something. In there.
But the first time you had electricity was in California.
I mean, Montana.
Montana. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what the first, what did you, was it a light bulb or what? what did you do with it? Did you wash clothes or iron, or what was the best thing you remember about first having electricity?
Ironing. Did you ever iron with sad iron? I'll tell you what, when I was still at home, my dad put in a carbide system, and it had little lights up here, kind of like the middle part of that fan, you know, right, where you turned a spigot like this and flipped another thing, and it turned those lights on. And then we had a spigot that come out from the wall like this, and there was an iron that went with it.
Wow.
That you could, it had a long cord on it that you screwed into this spigot thing, and then you lit this iron with a match in under here, and it had a thing back here you controlled your heat with. We thought we was pretty uptown when we got that.
Made your carbide iron?
Because we got away from those old sad irons, you know, that you had to heat on the stove.
Yeah.
And everything in those days were starched.
Yeah. And that's the days when you ironed your washcloths and you ironed your
tea towel.
Ironed your socks. What about your electricity experience? Did you first have electricity at the same time as her when you were living in Montana?
Yeah.
Well, his folks lived in town. They had it in here.
His folks lived in
we
town.
We didn't have it out east of town.
I was on the farm.
We had
when we were first
kerosene
married.
Kerosene lamps.
Yeah.
So you went from having it to not having it.
Well, yeah. You know, we lived in town. We had it. Moved out there on the farm. Oil lamps and so on.
We cooked on kerosene stoves and a coal burning range is the way we cooked. Are you familiar with this country? Are you familiar with the big tornado we had here?
What year?
1947.
No, I don't think I heard about that one.
Oh, well, there was one went south of town, almost blew Woodward away, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, anyway, when we moved back here from California, well, we wanted to put in a butane system, but you couldn't get stoves or anything, you know, because of the war effort. They just didn't have them. So I looked around and I found a little heater stove. So we had the butane put in and used this little heater for our heat. And I signed up several different places for a cook stove. And I had signed up at Tyser's at Woodward. And they carried butane stuff. And I'd signed up several different places. And one day I had been cooking on an old oil stove that my mother really had thrown away. And I about got the house on fire, and it scared the living daylights out of me. So I told Buck, I said, "We're going to go get a butane stove today." So,
enough of that.
Yeah. So we went to Woodward, and Tyser's was just unloading a whole carload of stoves. And I said, "Which one of those is mine?" And they kind of got to hemming and hawing around, you know. I just looked around and I said, "I'll take that and I want it delivered tomorrow." And they let me have it. And that night, they blew away. Wiped them clean, that tornado.
Huh. Did you get your stove first?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had it installed. That day they
so
installed
they delivered
it.
Delivered your stove and then that night,
they
were
blew
stored.
Away. Ever. Huh. They just, it wiped them clean. They didn't have nothing left.
Oh, man.
Uh-huh.
What a story.
So that was how close we came to.
Well, one of the topics that we really hadn't thought of, but after doing a few interviews that keep coming up, just ask if you guys have any experiences with bed bugs.
Oh, yes, we got those ones too.
What do you do when you get bed bugs?
Well,
First of all, can you see them or do you just find it because they bite you? How do you?
You can see them.
Yeah, they get.
They get about as big as my fingernail, and they're when they get
that's huge.
When they get full of your blood, they're real dark red, real dark red.
So they're not like ticks. I mean, they're kind of like ticks, but
well, they don't stay on you. They just stay in your bed or around.
Huh.
And I had a niece that was working for a lady here in town, and every weekend she would come home, bring her clothes and come home. Well, in a little while, I began having hives. And my mother took me to the doctor, and they, well, eliminate this kind of food. Maybe this is doing it and all this, you know. Well, one night I went to one of these play parties, and I come in, and my sister and her husband would take me in, and I laid down on the bed and hadn't been there but probably about 10 minutes, and I began to have hives, and I thought, strange, when you lay down you have hives, when you're up and going, you know, I didn't have. So I got up and lit the lamp and I turned back the covers, and we had mattresses that, I don't know if you've ever seen them, but where they were put together, they had tufts of cotton.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen that?
Uh-huh.
Well, I raised that cotton up, and they were alive with bed bugs in them and along the edges. So I got me a blanket and a pillow and got down on the floor. And the next morning we took the mattresses out in the yard, and we went around all that with kerosene, and all around the baseboards of your room and up around the door jams, every place where there was a crack, the window casings and everything. And every morning we did that.
For how long?
Oh, for about a week or two. Because they have what they call nits, and you have to get rid of those too. But we come to find out that the lady she was working for had bed bugs, and that didn't bother my niece. And she was bringing them home to us in her clothes all the time. And they just love me. They just make big welts on me. And then one time when he was in the service, he was up at Fort Riley, Kansas, and my son and I had come from California to be up there till they shipped him overseas. And I was going from Fort Riley into Wichita, and I had to lay over there about 2 or 3 hours. That was when they had train service yet. And they had a ladies' lounge in there, and they had these metal chairs that had little crisscross things, you know. Well, he and I was just kind of lounging around in there, you know, and laying around. And pretty soon I began having welts underneath my knees. And I thought it could be mosquitoes, so I got up and moved and over to bench that they had at the side of the room. Hadn't been there very long till I started getting welts again. Well, by that time, I got a little suspicious, you know, and I turned those chairs upside down, and they were a solid mass of bed bugs. Well, I looked up on somebody that was supposed to be looking after that. And I told them, I said, "You're loaded with bed bugs in those chairs." And they kind of laughed. They said, "Oh, yeah, we get them in here every once in a while. People carries us." I said, "Well, I want you to know, because I think you ought to do something about it, you know." Well, then I was scared I'd carry them to my sister. She lived out here on this farm where we lived. But before I went in the house, we went through my suitcase with a fine-tooth comb before I ever took them in the house. But I hadn't gotten any in there. But yeah, I know about bed bugs.
You know a lot about bed bugs.
They used to have them in the lumber yard. You know, that's where houses got them a lot.
Yeah, I heard people say they went to get boards to build their bed frame, and there were bed bugs in it before they even made bed.
Right. They're wood bugs. Yeah. Wood bed bugs.
And then one time when we lived in Montana, he was on a gas truck to deliver gas to all these ranchers out around. They were 20 and 30 mile apart. And he went out to this one rancher's to deliver gas. And it was about noon, so they asked him to stay for dinner. And he just took his jacket off and laid it on the bed and ate dinner. Come home that night, and he laid it on our bed. We went to bed that night, and I hadn't been there but about 15 minutes, and the thing bit me about 3 times. And there's a bed bug in here, and boy, we jumped up, and I found one. But I combed that bed every morning for a week or more. But he carried it home on his jacket.
I wonder what happened to all the bed bugs. I don't ever remember. You know, I mean, did they just disappear?
Well, I suppose people with all the stuff that they spray around, you know, probably got rid of them. I don't know. But you don't ever hear.
You don't hardly hear about them anymore.
Until people started telling us about this, I thought it was just something made up. I didn't think it was a real thing. You know,
it is made up.
I didn't think that was a real deal.
Oh, they really.
Yeah, they just make wells on you. You just. Yeah.
And then, well, what they do, they suck the blood out of you, and it makes them swell up, and they're real dark red. You mash one, and it's a big dab of blood.
What about other physical things like cures or elixirs or
home remedies?
Yeah, home remedies, medicine show.
My mother was full of those. She was kind of a practical nurse.
Yeah.
And we had this mixture of sulfur and molasses, you know.
And what was that supposed to cure?
Well, that was supposed to be a blood purifier. And then in the spring, you drank sassafras tea, which mm-hmm. I loved, really. But they won't. You used to could buy it just at a drugstore, you know. I mean, but you have to have a prescription now because it is a blood thinner. But we had to drink that every spring to thin our blood so that. Oh, I don't know.
You remember the worst cure she ever gave you? Do you remember sitting through something horrible?
Something you'd rather be sick than have to go through that.
I don't know.
We've heard some people tell some stories. Skunk oil on your feet. I don't know about that.
I talked to one lady who said her mom would make up a bread and milk poultice.
Mm, I've read that.
Stick it on whatever was ailing you. Whether it was sore, cut, or something.
For boils.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mama used to do that.
Bread and milk?
Mm-hmm.
You remember any cures you were subjected to?
Well, I can't think of any. I went out there for some.
I'd have blocked
it. It seemed like I used to have stomach flu a lot when I was growing up. Mama, if she didn't have... Now, this sounds terrible, but it really kind of tastes like... You know, they always say chicken soup is good for flu and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she wouldn't have chicken broth or anything because we didn't have any refrigeration. And she'd take really, really hot water, boil it, and put it in a cup, and then she'd put some butter in there and salt and pepper, and we'd put crackers in it. And it actually did kind of taste like chicken soup.
Wow. That's pretty innovative.
And, you know, it kind of settled your stomach when you had an upset stomach.
What about, you ever have anything for earaches?
Well, she put, she heated hot mineral oil in a spoon and put a drop or two in, put cotton in it.
My mom used to tell about her dad, he smoked a pipe and he would blow pipe smoke in their ears when they had earaches.
That'll work.
Yes.
And I tell you.
Dad done that.
Not really.
Yeah, that's the truth. And another thing, if we got bit with a red ant, my dad chewed tobacco and he'd just take some of that cut out and put it on there.
All right.
And I'll tell you, when I was about 7 years old, a horse kicked me right here and right here, these two places, laid this open. And we were 9 miles in the country. And there used to be a doctor that was right down the street here. And he happened to be out to the farm east of us about a half a mile. And my mother knew it. And she ran to the phone and called him and told him that I'd been kicked to keep him there. And she'd bring me over. Well, my dad had been sitting on the jury in Arnett and just happened to walk in right after that happened. So they took me over there. And... they got me up on a kitchen table, and he cleaned that out, and six men got a hold of me and held me down, and he sewed that up. I'll never forget that as long as I have a mind.
Man.
But he was so proud of that. It doesn't hardly show, really.
Well.
And he was so, even when we were in the drugstore, he'd come in, he'd say, "Sit down here. I want to see you left."
Look at his handiwork. So no painkiller, no nothing.
He didn't have anything with him.
And he just sewed it up. Man.
Yeah. I couldn't get away because I wasn't too big. And all these guys was older than me.
Well, when you moved away for several years, I guess you were gone for
about 12.
Did you notice any big changes that had happened to the area since you had been gone? You left in 35 just as the bad times were hitting, and
that your population had. I mean, this town wasn't as active, you know, as it had been when we were growing up.
When we were growing up, especially Saturday night, this was Saturday town. And I don't know, they just came from everywhere.
When we was running this little cafe over here, we had a big run every Saturday night of hamburgers, you know. I had a grill about this long and about this wide. It'd be full of hamburgers for people come in. We had a show down here. And they'd come in and they'd eat supper. The other merchants would come over and eat, you know. And like he said, it was a good Saturday night show, town. And it even was when we were in the drugstore.
Yeah.
We stayed open till after the show was out, and then they'd come in and drinks, you know.
You had a big soda fountain there?
One of those old-fashioned.
Did you work it, or did you have somebody working on it?
Well, we had to have help.
We could.
See, when
I
we
was
ran
still
the,
farming,
yeah.
in.
When we had
the, milk.
The cafe, I had three waitresses. I did all the cooking, and I made 6 pies every morning, and brought up my dinner. By 11 o'clock, I'd have my dinner brought up, and I did all the fry work. But I had 3 waitresses, and so when we decided to go into the drugstore, one of those waitresses went with us. She'd been with us quite a long. She went with us to the drugstore. And we didn't know anything about making drinks or anything. I didn't know nothing about a soda fountain. Didn't know nothing about a drugstore when I went in there either, a cafe. But I hired people that did, and I said, I want to know constructive criticism. And I said, I knew how to cook, you know, like plain cooking.
Yeah.
And that's mainly the way I kept it. But I said, I want to know anything that I do wrong. So, you know, they'd tell me. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't know anything about the drugstore either. So this gal that worked for us went to Shattuck, and we knew that druggist over there, and they had a fountain too. And she said, sit down there, I want you to give me a recipe of how you do everything. So she wrote this down. Well, when we'd get an order for a certain drink, we'd go over and look at that recipe and fill it, you know, until we got it in our heads.
I always hear some of the big drinks from back then, you know, like Black Cows or... What are some other phosphates or vanilla Coke and some of the, or something like that? You know, do you remember any of the popular concoctions you would make up behind the?
Oh, some of those kids, they'd come in, they'd want a squirt of this, a squirt of that, and a squirt of something else, you know, about 5 or 6 squirts, and then put carbonated water in it, you know.
Mix it all up.
Yeah.
What's a Black Cow?
That's got chocolate in it, but I don't remember really. Huh. That's been since 76. But we used to have a bunch of oil men there was quite an oil play in here at that time. And they would be checking wells, you know,
mm-hmm.
and go through a lot, and they would stop. I even run into them occasionally now. And we made real good malts and shakes because we made them real thick, and then they were in a can and we'd give them the can. You know, they got a lot for their money. They still remember that and bring that up.
And another thing was the railroad.
Oh, yeah.
Guys. Yeah, and they'd call the
memory,
deep of a man and manager, and said, we'll be there at 12 o'clock, have a fried chicken dinner for us. And they had 10 to 6 or 8 of them come in there.
And there was a grocery store across the street, so I'd go over and get chicken, and I'd have a chicken dinner for them by the time they got here from Amarillo. Because I served a little lunch every noon. You know. You didn't have a choice, but I had something different every day. And I always served a meat and potatoes and gravy. And
what kind of bargain price did you have for lunch?
Well, I don't remember what it was in the drugstore, but when we had the cafe, it was 80 cents. And that was your drink and the dessert and everything. And pies like this that they get a dollar and a half or more now, mm-hmm. we sold for 15 cents.
Good deal.
But I only paid, this is a going price, I only paid my waitresses 60 cents an hour. Mm-hmm. And a chicken I could get for less than a dollar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other prices were in comparison, and we paid, our rent was $40 a month over there for that cafe.
No, so everything was, I mean, it seems like it stayed about the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, a little, you know, 60 cents an hour, and mm-hmm. lunch is 80 cents, so mm-hmm. it'd be like.
And a big steak would be about a dollar and a quarter.
Mm-hmm. See, now I wish I could earn the money I earn now and go
yeah.
back.
Yeah.